Hey everyone, welcome back to The Growth Signal. My name is Lisa Nolte.
And I'm Jason Clark.
And we are going to have a great conversation. So Jason, what is your hot take?
My hot take is that people are not owning their weirdness nearly enough in the business world.
I wish that I could say that I own my weirdness, but I gotta be honest with you. I do have like a fear of letting my freak flag fly on LinkedIn.
Well, we're going to go for it today. Let's do it.
I can't wait. Actually, I always tell people that my favorite ChatGPT prompt is roast me. So I'll like give it something that I wrote or something that I want to post. And then I'll be like, roast me and tell me what people are going to make fun of. So you're telling me that maybe that's not the best approach. Maybe I shouldn't be so self-conscious about people thinking I'm weird or odd or roastable.
Absolutely not. Well, and the biggest example of this is LinkedIn, right? We're all on LinkedIn and we're all trying to connect with people and we're all trying to grow our business. And because of that, there is this layer of veneer that means absolutely nothing on LinkedIn that is just the most boring shit. Am I allowed to use expletives in this podcast? Okay.
I have it marked explicit for every episode, whether we swear or not, because I love to swear like Sailor.
Good.
That's
Let's
one of my
do
flags.
It. So there's just like, if you want to connect with somebody, you have to know what their weird is. Where, like, who are you? What are you into? And most people will proclaim on LinkedIn to be really into B2B growth strategies. And that's a load of horse shit. Yeah.
I saw a LinkedIn post a couple of months ago. That's my favorite like reference for this. It was something like, I got married this weekend and here's what it taught me about B2B sales. And I was like, come on, like
right.
Nobody, but it was totally serious. Like he meant it. It was like, this is embarrassing for you. Like you don't think that way, do you?
Sure. I mean, I enjoy LinkedIn more than the other social media platforms now because they're all political nonsense. I don't have time for that. So I'm there because I want to talk to and connect with people that have interests like I do. And you don't connect with somebody unless they know your real self. And that probably has to, you know, do you go to Dragon Con every year and dress up like a manga character? That's freaking awesome. Like, tell me about that. I want to know. And I don't, like, if I'm that kind of person, I've never been to Dragon Con, so this is why I'm using that as an example. But, like, I would want people to want to talk to me about that, right? Like, it's interesting. It's much more interesting than how your wedding inspired you about B2B sales. Give me a break.
If I was your wife, I'd be embarrassed by having you say that's the most inspiring part of the wedding was related to your job.
Right?
I mean, there is a little bit of that. And part of that probably comes from this conditioning we have to, like, present that facade and that whole, like, interview process that we all go through where, you know, it's about how you dress and did you send a thank you note and did you do all of those things that we get taught in like how to get a job 101. And after, especially for people who have a business, like people are buying from you, right? You might have a great product or service, but there's a million great products and services out there. So how do you stand out and say, I know you could buy this from probably anybody. There are other alternatives out there. You're going to buy it because you connect with me as a person or you find something that I am doing, or you just trust me and like me and think I'm cool. And those are all acceptable reasons to buy. But to your point, if nobody is being honest with who they are and it's not an authentic facing experience, then people are going to catch on to that.
Right. Right. And there's, you know, Will Reynolds from Sierra Interactive had a great post on LinkedIn a couple days ago about AI avatars and like these AI headshots that you can get made, like upload a couple images of yourself and get an AI, you know, a better AI headshot. And that is creating another layer of veneer from your true self. Like there's less trust there because I don't know what else you're exaggerating about. And I just love, like, there's a hot take right there that means a lot. You know, I love the promise of AI, but if it's going to, again, hide my true self from the people I want to work with, then like, I don't know. I don't want to live in that world. Absolutely
not. I did
not
try one of those AI headshot things. And because I need new headshots. And I don't have the time to go get like a photographer and get all that set up and
make the time all of
that
stuff.
I know, because I did it and I paid that money and I got like 180 headshots. I was like, oh my God, this will be great. I have so many options. And then I went through them and I was like, if you have ever met me or had a legitimate conversation with me, you would know that there's like, it's like that uncanny valley feeling. Like, you know that my head isn't that shape compared to my body. And like,
right.
That it's just not quite right. And my hair's never really been that long. And my face is just a little bit off. And like, if you're really looking, you can see it. And I had that exact conversation. I actually did book a photographer after I paid for those.
Well done.
Because I was like, if someone sees these online, let's say they see them, they don't know me, they never really had a conversation, and then they meet me in person and they're like, you don't look like that, even if they can't put their finger on it, like, oh, you don't look like I expected you to, even if they can't articulate that I faked something, it yep. gives them this feeling of inauthenticity, right? We can feel it whether we can name it or not.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's just, you know, I feel like there would more business would happen on a platform like that if people were their authentic selves. I've lived multiple lives socially. I used to sing in a death metal band.
That's awesome.
I'm a 53-year-old raver that still throws rave parties. I had dreadlocks in my 20s down to my butt. I've had a business haircut, and I kind of gave up on that a couple years ago. Like, so I used to think that I used to hide that from the professional world. So, like, I've got a picture of myself when I was 15, and it was the 80s, and like I had this big boothy hair metal haircut, and like I hid that from the world for 10 years because I was so embarrassed. And like when I brought that back out and started to like show people, like, look at that funny kid, like, people love it. It's like, tell me more about yourself. Like, oh my, like, you played drums in heavy metal bands and when you were in high school, right? And then went on to like have a music career in techno. Like, there's so much more richness and you know, authenticity. I hate that word, but it's true. You know, what are you into, and how does that affect your career? Because I guarantee that those things interweave more than you realize. For example, I've been doing rave parties since about 1996. And I didn't realize it at the time, but that was teaching me about small business. I did all the financing. I booked all the DJs. I rented a venue. I did the P&L report after the event, you know. And I just did it because it was fun. I wasn't doing it because I wanted to learn how to do B2B sales. Like, so it was just kind of an organic part of my journey to becoming whatever I am at this age. So talk about it. What got you where you are? Like, where did you fail? I posted a story about almost getting kneecapped once because of, I was working with some gangsters throwing a rave party once, and like that, like, people loved it. They wanted to hear more about it. I got so many phone calls and texts like, say that again.
tell me more about this. And it really is funny too, especially in this, what I'm going to call the age of the personal brand, right? I feel like every guru on the internet is trying to sell me a course or a book or a workshop or a masterclass on how to develop your professional personal brand. And I haven't fallen for any of those. I haven't got by any of those yet, but it is one of those things where there's so much pressure to do it and to do it in a way that is advantageous for your company, right? Like, yeah. I heard about someone who they work at like a traditional corporate job in a sales role, and they had an entire day-long workshop about how important it is for people in sales-facing roles to have a personal brand that leads them to get more leads for their company and more sales for their company. And you could have a personal brand, but it had to be within the guidelines of the company, right? Yeah. And we're seeing more and more of that.
That's not a personal brand then, is it?
Right. I'm like, you're not paying me for my name, image, and likeness to be one of your mascots or one of your avatars or anything
like that.
Yeah,
you're selling your soul at that point. Like, I'll play it. You know, my dad used to always tell me when I was a kid, you play the game or the game plays you. And I believe that to this day. But you can play the game on your own terms. You don't have to, you know, absorb the rules that are bouncing around in somebody else's head about what someone should be or how they should act. I mean, as long as you're not a complete creep or a liar or a cheater, then be yourself.
Yeah. So if someone is hearing this and they, you know, are super into something that they are worried might be a little bit weird, how can they start infusing who they really are as a person, take those baby steps to get comfortable with it, and do it in a way that is maintaining their who they are as a person, letting their freak flag fly a little bit, and then also making sure that it is, you know, in pursuit of whatever their larger goal might be building a business, getting a job, those kinds of things. How do we make that? How do we cross that bridge?
Sure. I think everything that's happened in your life, obviously, are lines drawn to who you are now. So that's important to know. The most important things to, I guess, be okay expressing are the ones that were actually had a positive effect on your life, right? So again, like I can draw a line to my early days of throwing dance parties and my ability now to, you know, at one point, 2 years ago, I had 4 or 5 different LLCs, and, you know, I had a property management company, I had an ad agency, I had a music production company, like all this stuff was happening, and all of that, I can completely draw a line to my early days of throwing parties. And so that was like, that's nothing to be embarrassed about. That's nothing to be like, oh, he's like hippie raver dude becomes businessman. Like, no, I learned a lot. I did the biggest event I did was a 4-day campout festival with 7,000 people. Like, that's an accomplishment, right? Yeah. Like, again, that's something that I used to never really talk about because, oh gosh, that's weird. And what do people think I'm a whatever? Like, take a walk, kick rocks. So for people that want to do that, I guess is, you know, analyze your life and, you know, you don't have to like show naked pictures of yourself at Burning Man on LinkedIn, but you can, again, express your enthusiasm for whatever makes you happy. And I mean, joy brings joy. If you talk about what brings you joy, that's going to make somebody else happy, and that's going to help you connect with them. You know, the lines that you don't want to draw are, you know, we all have embarrassing failures too, right? Like I was at 26, I was divorced, filed bankruptcy, and lived in a tent in Alaska for a summer because I didn't have a job. Like, it's a learning experience, but I'm not going to dwell on that. So that's, you know, maybe don't, you know, you don't have to embarrass yourself in public to help people understand who you are as a person, what your passions are.
Yeah, and I think that some of the content that I post that does the best really connects to something that I'm experiencing in my non-work life, right? Like, I've got 2 little kids. I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old. They're often the main characters of my commentary on leadership and building a business and entrepreneurship, because you learn a lot of lessons as a parent about the right and wrong, and you get to look at yourself in a mirror a lot more often than you really want to. Sometimes my daughter will do things and I'll be like, oh, my bad. That comes from me. My bad on that one. But then I also coach a high school dance team, and I'm 15 years into that, and I have learned
amazing
so much working with 14 to 18 year old girls. And I've had hundreds of girls come through my program and working with their parents and how to communicate and how to be a great leader and how to deal with frustration and disappointment. There's so much parallel to Alyssa the coach, Alyssa the parent, Alyssa the entrepreneur that I can pull from. Yep. And the posts that I post or the things that I share that do the best usually have that connection. I will almost always get a private message from someone who said, oh my God, I needed to hear that today. And like, that's what makes it way more gratifying than how many likes or shares or comments you get.
Right. Yeah. I get when thought leadership requires people to disagree with you. So I love that you start these podcasts with hot takes, because you like, there's going to be someone who disagrees with me. Like, oh God, by no means tell people that I don't know, play guitar at a blues club in the evenings, you know, like, oh, that has nothing to do with my business. Like, this is life. Like, business, if it's not interweaved in your life, you're doing it wrong. You're going to burn yourself out.
I do think there is a little function of, so I work from home, right? So you can see, like, I've got my, my home office here, and I used to work in an office, and I actually have to work twice as hard to, this is going to sound weird, I have to work twice as hard, I feel like, to be a human, because I work from home. And most of the people that I talk to are on the other side of a screen, and we're like shut behind these Zoom calls, or like we're on StreamYard. But when I worked in an office, like, I knew so much about the coworkers and the people that I was working with, because I knew so-and-so had a dog and someone was playing beach volleyball this weekend.
Right.
So I feel like I have to be twice as intentional to connect on a human level outside of work. So for example, I had a team meeting this morning right before this, and I will open up every team meeting with something that has absolutely nothing to do with work. We'll talk about the dogs. My kids just got me into K-pop Demon Hunter. So I don't know if you have kids who have heard about that, but like, we have watched it about 100 times, and the team I was talking to, I'm like, oh, they're based in Korea. So I was like, so tell me, have you guys heard about K-pop Demon Hunter? And then we went on a whole tangent about K-pop. But we very intentionally spend a good chunk of the beginning of our meeting just kind of wasting time trying to be as human as possible, because we exist on the other side of screens.
As you should. Absolutely. And that's, I mean, you'll even see that with some of the bigger podcasts is, you know, there will be 5 to 6 minutes of banter. And, you know, they'll even, like, some of them even mention it on their notes, right? Like, the banter portion is almost over, so it's time to get into the meat of the discussion. And that's on purpose. That is to build empathy. That is to see people as a human. And it's important. And it is, you know, this is, I'm actually in a co-working space because I can't work from home, because I want to be around people. So there's, yeah, that human element will always be a thing. And nobody is going to... You're not a human if you're hiding behind an AI profile picture and posts written on ChatGPT. Like, you're just hiding from the world and from yourself.
And if you work, let's say you are hiding behind that AR, and if you work with someone and you actually do manage to land a deal, they are going to find out who you are eventually.
Yeah.
Right? If you work with them long enough. I have a client I've worked with for 10 something years. She will just text me and say, like, hey, I need a proposal for blah, blah, blah. Or we'll get on a call and we'll spend 10 minutes talking about the new keyboard she just got, or whatever Switch game she has on her wish list. So, like, eventually we got to the point where, like, we're friends. She's my, you know, my customer 100%. I want her to pay me money. But, like, we're friends. We can socialize. We can talk about things. I can ask her about her cat and what she's got going on.
Right.
So they're going to find out who you are eventually if you do manage to win them over. Why not find people that you truly enjoy genuinely as people? Because life is far too short to hate your job and to hate what you're doing. And if you are trying to be someone you're not, you're going to hate it eventually.
Yeah. Well, and you're like, you'll discover things. You'll learn new things. There's a lady that in one of our divisions here she lives in Memphis, and she's an Elvis nut. And I have no relationship to Elvis at all. And I just love to hear these stories of Memphis and Elvis and, like, the politics of the Elvis scene and all that kind of thing. Like, please tell me more. This is super interesting because I don't have any investment in this whatsoever. And it's just funny and amazing and interesting.
And it's also just fun to see other people that you like get excited about something. Like, I get so much personal joy when someone is telling me about something they love and care about. And maybe it has nothing to do with me, but you can just see it lights them up and they're so happy. And they are happier by being able to share that with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, you also create an exoskeleton that shields you from people that want to judge. Like, the more you have to hide, the easier it is to judge somebody. So if I put all of my weaknesses and all of my weird eccentricities out into the world, you got nothing on me.
Right.
You can't make fun of me because I'm a 53-year-old raver, because I love it. I'm having fun. I get to hear great dance music at festivals in Europe in the summer. Like, I'm having more fun than you. So
Right.
Eat shit.
And exactly. And like owning it too. Yeah. I guarantee you there is your perfect customer is out there, and they also are going to that same festival. Yeah. And they also are wanting to hire someone who does what you do. And maybe that's something that you can connect over. You just never know what people are into. And if you're not going to make the first move to open up, then maybe they won't either.
Right. Right. And again, there's like, you know, you become less susceptible to people judging you or worrying. Like I see that in people that I know that they spin and everything is, they overanalyze in their head because they're worried about what somebody's going to think about, you know, what if I put out this post? What if I, and I'm a marketer, so this is where my brain goes. What if I put out this direct mailer? What if I say this thing that is a little bit controversial? And it's like, you know what? Those are the things that work, because a message that is easy to say yes to is also easy to say no to, right? And that creates clarity in your professional life, because, you know, one of the last times we rebuilt our website, one of my challenges to the team in our creative brief was I want it to be just as easy to say no as it is to say yes, because that's going to make it a little bit easier for those, because we don't want everybody. If we got, you know, 5,000 visits to our website last month and we need one or two good clients a month, like, what's that conversion rate? It's minuscule. So make it much easier for those two people to say yes, and much harder or much easier for the rest of them to say no. Like, bounce rate, who gives a shit? Like, let them bounce if we're not a good fit. Like, I don't need to write a blog post on my site that gets 10,000 views. Like, that's not success if somebody doesn't hit that contact form. So again, like, be a little controversial, draw a line in the sand, say something that you believe, but other people might disagree with, because that's exactly where you want to be.
Especially if it's authentically like what you believe, right? If you're just doing clickbait to like get attention and it's not authentic or real, then like, don't do that. But it, you know, it's so funny that you say that, because I just had this conversation with someone where I was talking about podcasting and how much enjoyment I'm getting out of it and how many opportunities are coming from it. And she's like, well, how many followers do you have? And I'm like, I don't know, not that many. And she goes, well, then, you know, like, how do you know that this is worth your time and you're doing a good job? And I said, because I'm getting opportunities out of it and I'm making great connections. And she goes, yeah, but don't you want to like go viral? I'm like, absolutely not. Because that means I'm getting 10,000 people who will forget about me in the next minute, instead of 100 people who will remember my name when an opportunity comes up. And it blew her mind, because she's been conditioned by our social media world to look at those vanity metrics of views and likes and comments and shares. But those don't mean anything if you're trying to build a business. You can't pay the rent on views.
Bingo. Yeah, that's very well said. There's no benefit to, and I'd be interested to hear what your conversion is. Like, what's a good connection for you? Because again, for us, like, our typical client spends, I don't know, $80,000 to $200,000 a year with us. So we couldn't scale fast enough if, you know, 10 of those came in a month. Like, we'd have to go on a merger and acquisition spree, which my business partner's built for, but I'm not. So what does that look like? Slow, sustainable growth.
And growth that you could manage. Like, I always tell people, I want to grow to the point where I'm excited for help, but I'm not desperate for help, right? You know, the point where you're just begging for people. So I work in like research and consulting, very specialized people work on this. I would have to go out and find really, really talented people, very specific, very niche, very expensive. And they're hard to find. And there is a ceiling on consulting and the ability to close that. And I don't need 500 interesting leads. I don't need 500 okay leads. I need like 20 people who are the perfect fit and who vibe with me and aren't going to make me pull my hair out and, you know, cry every Sunday night because I don't want to go work with them, right?
Yeah.
Life's too short for that.
Yeah. You said it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so thinking about all the smart, talented, incredible, or just interesting people that you know or you aspire to know, who is leading the charge? Who is changing the way we build these relationships?
I mentioned Will Reynolds. He owns a company called Seer Interactive in Philadelphia. He's a friend of mine. He's been part of a similar agency group for the last 10 or 12 years. He was smart enough to understand about 10 years ago that he wasn't the person to run his company. He's a research and development person, and he has his brain is on fire with ideas and insights all the time, and he's really good at communicating them. So he hired a CEO to run his company, and he is, find him on LinkedIn. He's fantastic. I think there are other podcasters and, I guess, media personalities that are doing that fairly well, but I hate to mention any of them by name because, they love to embarrass themselves and just as often as they love to be insightful. I think about Scott Galloway. He's on the Pivot podcast with Kara Swisher. And, you know, his mission, I think, is to be the anti-Joe Rogan, which I love because I have a 17-year-old boy, and helping boys understand masculinity and what it means to be a man is important. But, you know, he says just as much dumb shit as he says insightful shit. But that's part of what you're doing, right? Like, I love a good debate. I love to disagree with people and, you know, have a hot take, which is the focus of your podcast. So again, like, I'll listen to him, and I don't agree with 100% of what he says, but it's also like, every now and then I'll come out with an insight that's like, okay, my boy is about to go off to college. Here's a piece of wisdom that is articulated in a way that I couldn't articulate it. So here, buddy, like, I'm going to leave all these nuggets I can to try to help you because you'll be out of the nest here very soon.
It's funny that you bring that up, the wanting to disagree, because that's usually what I tell people when if they aren't sure what their hot take is gonna be. I'm gonna pull back the curtain for a minute, guys. So we're gonna break the fourth wall for a hot second. So when I'm prepping people for their hot takes, I usually say I want one of three outcomes. I either want someone listening to say, "Oh, I've never thought about it that way." I want someone to say, "Yes, I agree 100%, and I can't wait to be proven right as I listen to this conversation." Or the third one that I want is, "I completely disagree, and I can't wait to breathe fire about it in the comments." Like, it is about starting a discussion and having a conversation and expanding our thought process and outside of our own selves, our own perspectives and what we are doing, which is why conversations like this are important, because we need to have an understanding of what the world is like and not in our own little bubbles, because there's a lot of incredible people out there. On that note, if someone is listening to this and they want to learn more about you, they want to connect, they want to talk about European raves, where can they find you online?
I'm LinkedIn's probably the easiest place to find me, and that's just Jason Clark, or C. Jason Clark, I think, is in the URL slug. We have a dance music promotion group called Transmit Productions that's on Instagram mostly. We're doing a party with Mixmaster Mike from the Beastie Boys for Halloween in Louisville. So
amazing.
Yeah. Check that out if you want to. But yeah, the easiest place to find me is probably on LinkedIn. So if you just search Jason Clark, Louisville, Kentucky, you'd find me pretty easily.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal. This was a really insightful conversation.
That was fun. Yeah. Thank you very much.